This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 6:11 on this Monday morning from FM 106, the DTN General opening call for today. Expect corn to open about a nickel higher, beans 11 to 12 higher, and wheat about a dime higher. The overnight crude oil market, 97 cents higher at $99.64, while Brent crude, 79 cents higher at $118.10. The April gold contract, 550 higher at 1730.80, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.403 lower at 78.7111. On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, May wheat closed at 6:30. That was down 16 cents. March wheat closed at 6:30, down 16. May wheat closed at 6:38, down 17 and a quarter. July wheat closed at 6:48 and a half, down 19 and a half. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 6:31 and three quarter, down 5 and a quarter. May corn closed at 6:35 and a half, down 6. July corn closed at 6:39 and a quarter, down 6 and a half. March soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 12.29. That was up 1.5. May beans closed at 12.37 and a half, up 1.5. July beans closed at 12.47, up 1.25. March soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 3.20, down a dime. May meal closed at 3.23, down 6. July meal closed at 3.25.90, down 6. March soybean oil closed at 52.53, down 1. May oil closed at 52.92, down 1. And July oil closed at 53.31, also down a penny. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 3.18, unchanged. May oats closed at 3.09 and a half, unchanged. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Country Grain Prices ended mixed on Friday afternoon with soybeans slightly higher and corn and wheat lower. Technical and fund selling at the Port of Trade weighed on wheat futures. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower at 6.24 to 6.40, while soybean bids were up a penny at 12.05 to 12.19. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids lost 4 to 6 cents, down to 6.33 to 6.50. Soybeans were up a penny at 12.13 to 12.32, and soft red or winter wheat fell 12 to 14 cents at 6.15 to 6.37. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids down 4 to 8 cents, ranging from 6.29 to 6.40. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents stronger at 12.14 to 12.18, and wheat down 14 to 19 cents at 6.30 to 6.40. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents lower at 6.40 to 6.47. Soybeans gained 1 to 3 cents at 12.29 to 12.33. And new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery down 20 to 24 cents at 6.28 to 6.30. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bid 7 to 8 cents lower at 6.61 to 6.64. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 1 to 2 cents with quotations at 12.50 to 12.54. Soft red or winter wheat dropped 15 cents at 6.48 to 6.49, while the Milo ended steady at 6.26 to 6.27. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 86.85, down 45. April hogs closed at 88.30, down $1.35. May hogs closed at 97.30, down 50 cents. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 123.95, down 122. April cattle closed at 126.80, down $1.40. June cattle closed at 125.95, down $1.20. March feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade on Friday closed at 153.62, down 152. April feeders closed at 155.75, down a buck and a half. May feeders closed at 157.30, down $1.52. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Friday, February 10th, for the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hogs, Barrels, and Gilts closed $2.72 lower, with a carcass-based price range of 76 to 86.5 and a weighted average of 80.35. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 10,000. Illinois Direct Brown Gilt Trade was steady, 56 to 61, a few up to 63, and Illinois Direct Slaughter South steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 50 to 54. 450 to 550 pounds at 52 to 58. Over 550 pounds at 55 to 58. 4s under 300 pounds, 32 to 40, and over 300 pounds, 15 to 20. Today's estimated receipts, 850. Thursday's actuals, 925. And for the week, 5,109 head. The estimated daily livestock slaughtered to federal inspection, hogs on Friday, 400,000. Saturday, 49,000. Week to date of 2,130,000. And year to date, 12,919,000. Cattle on Friday, 100,000. Saturday, 6,000. Week to date of 602,000. And year to date of 3,621,000. Box beef cutout values are firm on choice and weak on select with light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 132 fabulous with 46 trim. Choice at 186.65. That is up 33 cents. Select at 181.88, that is down 44 cents. Pork carcass cutout this evening at 85.14, and that is up 32 cents. At the Illinois auctions, which are covered, receipts this week of 2,583 head, which included special sales. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded 50 cents to $2 lower. Choice steers at 123 to 130.75. Choice heifers 124 to 129 and a quarter. Choice Holstein steers traded 50 cents to $1 lower, 110 to 120 and a half. Slaughter cows traded steady to 2 higher, with slaughter bulls unevenly steady. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, trading was slow in the Texas Panhandle on moderate demand compared to last week. Live sales $1 higher at 124. Trading and demand moderate in Kansas compared to last week. Live sales steady at 123. Trading moderate to active in Nebraska on moderate demand compared to last week. Live sales steady to 50 cents lower, 123 to 123.5. Stress sales steady at $1 lower at 197 to 198. A few up to 198.5. Western Corn Belt trading was slow on light demand. Not enough sales for an adequate price comparison. Negotiated sales week to date of 46,800. Illinois direct slaughter cattle, not enough for an accurate price comparison. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, February Class 3 milk closed at $16.08, down a penny. March milk closed at $15.63, up 6. April milk at $15.80, up 9. February butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday closed at 147.5, up a quarter. March butter closed at 148, unchanged. April butter at 153, unchanged. Non-fat dry milk for February closed at 136, up 1. March non-fat dry milk 132.5, down a quarter. And April non-fat dry milk 131.5, down 1.25. Spot prices, as reported from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, for block cheese, 147.5, unchanged. For barrel cheese, 148.5, up 3/4. For butter, 143.25, unchanged. For non-fat dry milk, 133.5, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, USDA graded 17.05. Wrapping up part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for February, $6.40. For March, $6.37. Corn delivered to Scottville for February, $6.32. For March, $6.28. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for February, $12.13. For March, $12.11. Wheat delivered to Scottville for February, $6.07. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices, once again, corn at Greenfield at $6.40, corn at Scottville $6.32, beans at Scottville or Greenfield $12.13, wheat at Scottville $6.07. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
It's time to think about your lawn and what you can do to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood. M&M Service Company carries a full line of green yard, lawn fertilizer, seed, and chemicals. They will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications and treatments. Talk to Tim Rothy, turf specialist at M&M Service Company, for a seed, fertilizer, and chemical program for your lawn. Call him at 1-800-962-7331. M&M Service, the local solution to your world of needs.
The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory. It is in effect until midnight tonight. For today, cloudy skies with a chance of snow, up to an inch of accumulation possible. High temperatures in the mid-30s with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, scattered snow and freezing drizzle, up to 3 inches additional accumulation possible. Low temperatures in the low 30s. For tomorrow, Tuesday, becoming partly cloudy, high temperatures in the low 40s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain on Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies Thursday and Friday, low temperatures in the low 30s. High temperatures in the mid to the upper 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 6 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady. We have partly cloudy skies, 26 degrees on this Monday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Our guest on the AM Live program today is Harley Heppner, the Executive Secretary of the Illinois Association of Vocational Agricultural Teachers. FFA Week begins Friday. We'll discuss that and other facets of vocational education. The AM Live program this morning at 9:05 on WSMI AM 1540. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank. First of all, in our farm news this morning, things went well Saturday at the Hamilton Hay Auction in Fosterburg. Earlier today, we talked to Mike Hamilton, and he gives us this update.
Well, Randy, we had a lot of straw and quite a bit of hay. We ended up with 1,676 small squares, and of the 1,676 bales, 826 of it was straw, and it was in a price range from $1.50 to $2.10. It was quite a bit lower this week. The alfalfa small squares, we had 418 bales, and it was in a price range from $6.50 to $8.50 a bale. We had 432 bales of mixed grass, and it was from $5.50 to $6.10. And then we had around 100 bales of I call it utility hay. It was from $4.10 to $4.20 a bale. We ended up with 260 3x3x8s. We had 105 bales of alfalfa, and it was from $71 to $93 a bale. We had 100 bales of alfalfa grass at $75. We had 6 bales of real nice grass hay at $76. We had 24 bales of stubble grass at from $51 to $53 a bale, and we sold 19 3x3 bales of straw at $25 to $36 a bale. We was real light on round bales this week. We only had 32 mixed bales of grass, and it was in a price range from $60 to $71, and we ended up with 23 corn stalk bales at $33 a bale.
As I recall, it was pretty chilly on Saturday. Did a lot of folks show up?
Yeah, you know, we had good buyer attendance. I think we had over 60 buyer numbers out, and we actually woke up to about 2 inches of snow down here. It had hung around till Sunday morning. So, yeah, we had snow and everything to deal with, too.
And you'll try it again this weekend?
Yeah, we'll be here through up into April every Saturday. Sale starts at 11 o'clock, and we'll receive hay from noon on Fridays, and if anybody needs to bring it in earlier, just give us a call. We'll make sure somebody's here to consign it.
Okay, Mike, once again, your phone number and website address?
They can reach me anytime on my cell phone at 618-410-4293, or they can go to our website. It's www.hamiltonhayauction.com.
And once again, that's Mike Hamilton of the Hamilton Hay Auction. On Thursday, the United States Department of Agriculture released a report that dealt mainly with the South American crop. We talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions, and he goes over the effect on the markets here.
This is what we spoke to earlier in the week, is that they are going to make these gradual reductions, not these major ones all at once. I would expect those numbers to continue to be decreased. I do think the beans have been helped a little bit by some of these late rains, but inevitably there's going to be some damage done there as well. So it's just going to take some time before we really figure out how bad it is. But pretty much everything yesterday came right in close to what the trade guess was, and that's true for about, just about every commodity. We did see a little bit of a reduction in the corn carryout, but I think what this means is the market still kind of have a lack of direction. I think what we trade now is the fundamentals. We trade, do we continue to see every morning some private sales? And we did again today. We saw about 240,000 metric tons of U.S. corn sold to Egypt for this old crop marketing year. And if we continue to see that, if some of these foreign destinations, some of these end users want to have some coverage on going into spring just in case we have some adverse weather conditions, I think it will support this market. The next major report, or I guess point of information, if you want to call it, will be the February 23rd USDA Ag Outlook Forum, where the government will update what their thoughts are long term for not only the U.S. but worldwide. Supply and demand numbers, what they think acreage could be. That's just a broad-based guess, but we won't have that planting intentions report until the 30th of March, so that'll be the next major thing to hit us. And as we go into that time frame, as we head between now and May, I would still expect this seasonal tendency to have a supportive market. It doesn't even need to rally a lot. Something that's in the focus of the trade right now is this ethanol grind, and we did see a little bit of a reduction here on Wednesday, and with some of these ethanol facilities backing off on their production because the ethanol stocks are relatively high, maybe we don't see as much ethanol production this year as we're expecting. The pace right now suggests we're ahead of pace, but the USDA did not adjust that. There was actually one CEO of an ethanol company that voiced his opinion on it, and he thought there could be about a 50% reduction in ethanol exports for the 12 and 13 marketing year, and it's not hard to see that happening. We've almost doubled it going into this year, and a lot of that was because of the South American sugar prices. A lot of our exports were going to Brazil, and when you had 400 million, gallons of exports last year, and this year we were almost a billion through 11 months. If we go back down to 500 million, there are going to be some burdensome supplies, and it will draw back our ethanol grind and relate to more supply on the market. So what it all still boils down to, though, is things are still pretty supportive here for the old crop contracts, and they will be for the new crop as long as we don't know what it looks like yet. So just have to see what happens with the calendar here over the next 2 months.
You mentioned earlier in your description there fundamentals. I've always wondered what makes up the fundamentals that you talk about.
Well, what we have to figure out is what supply is left over from the previous year, what we have now, and what we could have in the future. And that's why we talk about some of these daily sales. If some of these countries are concerned about much higher prices down the road for corn if we have a production problem, we have to keep in mind that these economies around the world are in pretty poor shape. We've got our own problems here in the U.S. Of course, this European Union issue is also going to be a wet blanket on demand. And we have to remind ourselves that markets only rally for two reasons. One is because it's demand-led. That's very similar to what we saw in 2008. Though we did have a little bit of a supply problem, that was pretty much, economies booming, China, U.S. And, of course, that turned out to be a bubble. But the second reason is a supply issue. So it's very important to be able to weigh these, especially in a year like 2012, because if we get these acres they're talking about and we finally get a yield, we haven't had, 3 years in a row of a production problem for quite some time. I mean, it may be since the Dust Bowl, since we've seen that. So if that happens, it's going to mean a range between 350 and 550 corn instead of a range between 550 and 7, and that's what we really need to pay attention to. But how all these world economies are tied together now, keep in mind we talked about the problems in the EU and in the U.S. Well, those are the number one and number two customers of China, and China's been this big driver. Naturally, they're going to slow down if we do, and that means much, much less demand and more supply on the market and lower prices.
That's Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The Macoupin Montgomery County Agronomy Day was held Thursday at the Lincoln Land Community College facility in Litchfield. One of the presenters was Robert Bellum. He talked about weed control for the 2012 crop.
I'm going to be discussing herbicide-resistant water hemp in corn and soybean production. Back in the mid-1990s, we switched herbicide programs in both corn and soybeans, primarily to a glyphosate weed control program, which relies on post-emergence applications of that herbicide. In the process of doing that, we selected for resistance to glyphosate in the water hemp population. guys may not be aware that they have those weeds on their farming operations, and so I'm going to be going over some of the management practices they want to think about implementing in order to minimize that problem in the future.
What might some of those management practices be?
The primary shift is going to be back to soil-applied residual herbicides. We abandoned many of those, again, back in the mid-1990s, and guys will start to need to be introducing those back into their systems in combination then with their currently more traditional program of the post-emergence herbicides they've been using. So starting out with some sort of a setup on a soil residual herbicide followed by their post-emergence herbicide application.
Those soil residual herbicides you mentioned, are they applied pre-plant or post-plant?
The soil applied will be applied pre-plant. We want them applied as close to planting as possible because their residual weed control is limited. It's only going to last about 30 days. So we want them applied as close to planting as possible, hold off the weed pressure within that early emerging crop for as long as possible before we have to come back in with the post-emergence application.
You know, it seemed like year after year after year there's a different type of weed that's presenting a problem for producers. How can you stay ahead of it, or can you?
Well, you adapt to what happens. It's interesting if you look at weeds, we tend to have these shifts in weed populations because as we change management practices to deal with one weed, our new management practice eliminates that weed possibly, but it favors the development of another weed, and it just goes through a cycle. So the key is to keep one step ahead of the problems as they develop and realize we're always going to have weed problems, and we have to adapt our management practices as they develop.
Now, those management practices, I'm really, really curious. Does that include the cultivator?
You know, iron does do a pretty decent job of weed control in those fields where erosion is less of an issue. Tillage does have some benefit, not always on all weed species. There is a weed called horseweed or mare's tail, a lot of guys will refer to it. We have herbicide-resistant mare's tail. It's not being controlled by glyphosate. Tillage is very effective at controlling that particular weed species. Water hemp less so. Well, water hemp is a weed that germinates over a prolonged period of time from mid-spring all the way through late summer. Tillage less effective on that one.
How does the weed you just mentioned affect the crop? Now, I know like with horse weeds, they just simply outgrow the crop and shut off the sunlight. How does the other work?
Well, all weeds pretty much compete with the crop the same. You know, both need moisture, nutrients, light, and space, and weeds, because of their aggressive growth characteristics or high populations, simply outcompete the crop for water, for sunlight, for nutrients, and that suppresses yield. That's where the problem arises.
That was Robert Bellum of the University of Illinois, who spoke at the Macoupin Montgomery County Agronomy Day Thursday at Lincoln Land in Litchfield. Finally, in our farm news this morning, let's update the hog markets. We'll join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
Well, it was a rather uneventful week in the hog markets. We're ending up with prices basically the same as where we started. That pork carcass cut out just a tad bit short of 85 cents a pound. As far as hog prices on a live basis, right around 60 cents a pound live weight. On a carcass weight basis, somewhere in the low 80s, depending on east or west. The markets have been higher in the west for the last few weeks than the east. USDA updated their forecast of pork production for 2012. They increased it by 0.2%. They're now forecasting 2.1% more pork this year than last year, but total red meat and poultry production is expected to be down 1.8%. As a result, even though we've got more pork, we're looking at hog prices very close to a year ago in the forecast. USDA is saying somewhere around 65 cents a pound will be the average price on live hogs here in 2012 when the year comes to an end.
That's Dr. Ron Plain, University of Missouri livestock economist. On the Greenville livestock auction from Thursday, compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1.50 to $2 lower. Slaughter Holstein steers about 50 cents lower. Slaughter cows sold $1 to $2 higher. Slaughter bulls sold about $1 lower in a light test. Feeder cattle mostly $2 to $4 lower. And compared to last week, slaughter kids traded unevenly steady, not enough of any classes of sheep and goats for accurate price comparison. Very good demand noted in slaughter lambs. Slaughter lambs accounted for about 33% of the total run Thursday at the Greenville Livestock Auction. Once again, the DTN general opening call for today, corn about a nickel higher, beans about 11 to 12 higher, wheat about a dime higher. The overnight crude oil market, 97 cents higher at $99.64. Brent crude, 79 cents higher at $118.10. The April gold contract, $5.50 higher at $1,730.80. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank.